welcome to another edition of Authors in Their Own Right. This series of podcasts features interviews with Canadian authors discussing their works and experiences, and is brought to you by the Canadian Authors Association National Capital Region. And now, here is your host, an author in her own right, Joanne L. Trombley.
Greetings. On today's episode, I am pleased to introduce you to Lee Ann Eckert-Smith, author of Strength Within, The Granger Chronicles. As we travel on the road of life, it is important for some of us to stop, glance back, take a special note, reset our compass, and then continue on our way. So it is with Strength Within, The Granger Chronicles. We glance back to one family made up of many, listen to the family tales, secrets, legends, and stories spanning over 100 years, covering half a world, and the eras of the 19th and 20th centuries. Hello, Leanne.
Hi, Joanne.
Oh, thank you for being with us today.
It's a pleasure.
The book is a saga of your family. What moved you to do all the research required and to write Strength Within, The Granger Chronicles?
Well, I grew up hearing Granger stories. Our family is blessed with a number of storytellers, but the key one in my life was my mother's younger brother, Bob, so Uncle Bob. And from the time I was a little girl, I remember hearing stories because he was a genealogist and interested in the family history. And I learned about these characters who were part of my, my background. And as a writer, my interest was in capturing these stories and writing them down. So that was the germ of the idea. But from there, it really grew. I call this my little project that grew. I thought I would take 6 months and capture the stories from Uncle Bob. It took me 2 years. And this became, as you say, a saga because I got very, very interested in the people and more in the times that they lived in so that I could write about who they really were and as much as possible about their motivations and the times that shaped their lives.
Oh, wonderful. And I'm so glad you said, you know, I started off with this, but then it grew. Gee, families are like that.
They are. Oh, yeah.
This book is more than, and we, you know, you briefly touched that, more than a genealogical information accounting. It's a family history. The individual people are, for me, when I was reading this book, are once again alive and real. On page 10, for example, you speak of Yosef, born in 1867, describing him as a man of conviction, of strong emotional depth, and so on. For what was not witnessed by you, how did you realize he was in possession of these traits?
Well, that's a great question and one that really challenged me as I was putting together this story. Because, of course, the further back in time you get, the further away from living memory you get. And so you can't interview people and say, what was my great-grandfather, Yosef Granger, all? What was he about? What was he like? What kind of a person was he? So what I had to do was pull together a disparate group of data, including his background, his family dates, the places he lived, the things that were going on locally, nationally, and internationally in Hungary at the time. And by placing him there, I could start to get a feeling for some of the things that would have influenced him. For example, his family was a long, long line of very, very poor seasonal workers, agricultural workers. The big difference for Yosef in terms of opportunity came at the time that he was alive. It was the first generation where it was possible for him to make a change, make a difference, take a different path than all of his ancestors, back as far as I could research, were able to do. And the big thing that changed was the opening up of America. So at that time, in the late 1800s, America was just wide open and calling for immigrants to help build their nation. And so through that, Yosef had opportunity. The way I determined that he had motivation is because of understanding through research exactly what was involved in uprooting and moving to America. It really is, for us modern people, the equivalent of going to Mars. Okay? It is that far away. It is that unlikely that you're ever going to get back. It is that distant from communicating with everything you've ever known. It is that different. So you have to have conviction. You have to have motivation. You have to have determination in order to make that kind of a change in your life.
It's wonderful how you dovetail, as you say, the time and what would have been required and so on and so forth. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the back of the book, at one point you even have analysis in terms of writing an analysis. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, that was another piece of data that I used in order to try to glean an understanding of the people I was dealing with. Again, particularly the ones who lived before our living memory. So I had studied graphoanalysis many years ago and really came to think that there was quite a lot of credence to the notion that a writer will illustrate some of his or her own traits just by the way they shape the letters on the page. So one thing I did have of Joseph's was his signature on his passport. And that's all I had, which is a very small snippet of handwriting, and certainly not the kind of volume of writing that you usually do for an in-depth analysis. But it was what I had to get a little glimpse into his characteristics. And sure enough, through the handwriting analysis, my idea of the conviction and determination that was required to make that kind of a change in life showed up in his handwriting as well.
That's exciting because it just everything supported.
That's right. And that's what you look for when you're doing research and writing about people and about times. You can't just take one person's opinion or one interview to determine that, oh yeah, that's what that person was like or that's what that place was like. You need corroborating evidence. And so for me, the graphoanalysis was a piece of corroborating evidence.
That's so exciting. Now, you skillfully, and we're talking about that, write about the individuals in your book. In many cases, I, as a reader, embrace their personalities, their shortcomings, or the intangibles of their human heart. Did you intend for the reader to identify in some way, whether of themselves or someone else, through your ancestors?
Well, not at the outset, but as I started to write this, I realized that so much of the Granger story is so much of all of our stories here in Canada. You know, unless you are of Aboriginal background, there is an immigration story somewhere in your history. There are going to be characters who will be similar in some way to these characters who existed in my family. And I really think that that is what has given this book a wider audience than my own immediate family. Because people can identify with the events, can identify with the places, can identify with the individual people.
And that was my experience.
That's
wonderful. I can just so relate.
I'm thrilled about that because then it tells me that I've done my job as a writer and it is a true human interest story.
Very much, because remember I said the intangibles of their human heart. Mm. And you really bring that out, and that I can relate to as a human being. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, the book plumbs multiple generations. And this is a personal question, but do you believe the ancestors impact their offspring through the generations?
I do. I think that and in fact, I went looking for that kind of thing, you know, like, are there traits here that I can find in Joseph, for example, that exist three generations later, or are there commonalities in the family? And I found some things in terms of traits. We have, for example, a long line of aviators in the family. Interest in aviation is one thing that has shown up since there was such a thing as aviation and continues today. So we've got an extraordinary number of pilots in the family compared to others. We have storytellers. There are many storytellers in many branches of the family, which I was delighted to find out. In terms of character, I think there is a lot of sense of humor in this family, and it has certainly been a coping mechanism for some of the more tragic situations that people have found themselves in. But a number of the folks who I profile in the family, from my great-grandparents through my grandparents and my parents, there is that consistency there.
Or Yes, a common thread.
A common thread.
That binds.
That's right.
Possibly the
yes.
fabric of this family.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's one of the things, is to be able to look at a situation and get through it through humor and perseverance. So that's a great legacy.
It's a wonderful legacy, and again, it just so comes out in the book.
Oh,
you know, I had a lot of chuckles with some of the folks. And then, of course, roll your eyes and go, yeah, we had an uncle kind of like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, my Uncle Bob was fond of saying to me, Leanne, in every family there are characters. We just happen to be blessed with maybe more than many.
I love it. It's wonderful. Now, chronologically, the novel has many settings, starting with what I understood was in 1898, around that
roughly,
time.
Yeah, when my grandfather
roughly.
Was born. Yep.
As a storyteller, you take our hand. This is what I felt in the book. Leanne had taken my hand. Walk us through the 19th and 20th centuries. Truly a time, I think you describe it at one point, a dynamic time, and it was a time that saw major, major shifts in the numbers of people who lived during that time, many, many types of shifts.
Yep.
How important is knowing our history, in this case through the Granger family, but anyone else's family history for that matter, is it for the generation today? What is the gift of this for the generation of today?
The gift, I think, is rootedness. The gift is understanding our sources, understanding and gaining pride in who we are in this family. The kinds of, and to appreciate the kind of courage and strength that it has taken our family collectively to get us to where we are today. You know, so again, looking at Josef and Juliana, my great grandparents from Hungary, it really is through their courage and abilities in moving the family that we enjoy all the benefits of living in this continent today.
I loved how you started this off because you said it's rooted in.
Yes.
And if we think of a family and a family tree, if we think of a tree as the symbolism here, a metaphor, a tree grows down, a tree goes up, and a tree grows out. Okay. And what I hear you saying is our amazing ancestors, so whether they were characters or not.
And especially if they were.
And especially if they were, exactly, are rooted. Those are the roots. And what I'm hearing you say is our generation of now, today, or the next, that, you know, root is where the nourishment comes from. So it's important we know this so that we can be nourished about who we are.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. So, what advice do you have for anyone who is contemplating chronicling their family history? Because I do understand you help other people do this.
I do, through a series of workshops. Well, I think that my best advice for those who are interested in getting started is, first of all, to just gather what knowledge they already know. You know, write that all down. What dates, what names, what places are you already familiar with? Starting with yourself and moving back as far as you can get. That's going to give you your basis for your family tree and the genealogy, but also show you where the holes are in your own knowledge and help to illustrate to you where and who you need to go and talk to get those holes filled. In particular, you should try to seek out the storytellers in your family, because those are the folks who are going to put the flesh on the bones of the data that you're going to collect as well. And also, something that people don't always think about, look for some of the artifacts that exist in your family, because they are going to point the way to a lot of information that you may not suspect would be in them. So for example, in my own family, we have the rocking chair that Juliana Molnar, my great-great-grandmother, used to sit and rock in. And she had a daughter, Julie, who was my grandfather's sister, who was mentally challenged to some degree, and I'm not entirely clear to what degree. But Julie used to rock her mom in this rocking chair. And on the back of the chair is a spot where the varnish and the stain is actually worn away from the rocking that Julie did. Now that tells me, I think, everything I need to know about the relationship between these two women, this mother and this daughter. And I get that from a family heirloom. Okay? Those are the kinds of gems that people can find in their own family attics.
Well, that's very, very good advice. Extremely good advice. Now, how can a listener contact you to purchase a copy of their Strength Within the Granger Chronicles?
The easiest way to do that is to look on my website, which is www.grangerchronicles.com. And you can buy the book online through that, and there's also a list of bookstores and places where it is also available.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so very much, Leanne, for talking with us and pointing out the importance of knowing our history. And for those who have an interest in going back in their own history, I think today was very, very helpful with very good tips for everyone.
Thank you very much, Joanne.
Thank you. With conversational ease, Leanne Eckhart-Smith presents the saga of her ancestral family. She not only gives the genealogical data, but also encompasses many moods and social history as she counterbalances with fine vignettes.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of Authors in Their Own Right, brought to you by the Canadian Authors Association, National Capital Region. Your host has been Joanne L. Tremblay. Joanne is a personal coach, artist, photographer, broadcaster, and author of the Self-Coaching Toolbox, 6 Tools for Personal and Professional Growth and Development. The Self-Coaching Toolbox is available at your local bookstore, Chapters, or can be ordered online using Joanne's website at www.potentialsmanagement.com. This is your announcer, Mark Henderson, inviting you to join us for further editions of Authors in Their Own Right. And remember, a good book is a friend that eventually turns its back on you, but still remains a friend.